What is up, everybody? Man, we got a great show on tap for you this evening. A lot of stuff going on in golf this time of year, as always. Tiger's in the news. Some dude that won a ladies event is in the news. Nick Dunlap, just an incredible story that took place at the American Express. And then we got some guests. You know, the screen is full. I'd like to welcome the gentlemen from Loop Golf, Mike Bartles, a.k.a. Barrels, and Thomas Reinholm. Is that correct?
Reinholm, yep, that's right.
Reinholm. Hey, welcome to the show, guys. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having us. Glad to get on with everyone.
Yeah, super excited.
So Joe, how did you find out about Loop Golf? Was it when you did the Kingdom?
Oh, man. Originally, I think I heard about it like a year and a half ago. I thought it was going to be like some sort of cryptocurrency, like for real, because it was called Loop Golf Ledger. So I'm like thinking of like ledgers, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be some golf crypto. And I'm like, oh, sick, yeah. You know? So I had heard about it a while ago.
That's a good insight. First time I've heard that connection.
It's immediately what I thought. Crypto. Immediately what sense. I thought. Yeah.
Terrible name, by the way.
I will invest in your coin when it comes out. I'm down to invest in that coin when it drops. So maybe get on the ICO.
You're reading the tea leaves.
But yeah, obviously I played with Barrels. I've talked about Barrels a couple times on the podcast out at Cam's event out at Goat Hill at the Kingdom. And that was a fantastic event. And I think he dropped it to me while we were playing together. And, you know, we follow Tyler Munns, Fade and Fairway closely. He's always on there. And it's just a super cool idea because we do play for money. And most of the time, nobody pays up. But it's kind of cool you're committed. So
And that is the key.
Yeah,
that is the key to all of this, because we've played. Joe and I have played. I've played with a buddy of ours, Steven Jackson, and Mike Tice, and Jeremy's played with us. Dan's played with us. But we've all done it. And Sunday was it Saturday? Was it Saturday or Sunday? When did we play? Was it Saturday? Saturday.
We played Sunday.
Sunday. Joe, Jeremy, myself, and Trey went, and Trey, we're finding out, is not a legal alien. He is not a U.S. citizen because he cannot get through the verification process.
too many addresses.
That can be a problem.
Yeah, and so we're giving him shit about that. But we said, hey, what we'll do, we'll play best cart best ball. You know, everybody throwing 10 bucks cart best ball. Nobody paid. Nobody kept score. Nobody cared. And
nobody ever really cares. I mean, and we don't really care about the money, but now that it's in, it's pulled, it kind of keeps you committed, which is awesome.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, my biggest thing when I first started using it was I am oblivious to everything in the world when I play golf. Like, I have my camera in my hand, I barely look at my cell phone, and I play. So when we're playing, I have no idea if I'm up, I have no idea if I'm down. I barely even know the game that we're playing as it goes. So to like pull it up and be like, oh, I'm up like some money I can play, or hey, I need to press at the right time. Like, I'm way more engaged in what's going on when I use it.
Totally. I mean, coming from me who I don't post my scores all the time. And it kind of keeps me committed, and the auto gin option
is terrible.
Awesome. Yeah. I don't, cause I'm the self-proclaimed soul golfer. Like, I don't really care about my score too often. You know, I'm just out there to have a good time. But it's fun just to play for a few bucks. And, you know, I'm very lazy when it comes to posting my gin. So auto post scores is helpful to my VGN league. So I'm sure a lot of people are appreciative of that.
Yeah, because Joe was, you know, sandbagging around at 8, and now he's at a 5. And it's like, yeah, see, that's...
Wow.
That's boasting.
No. All lies. All lies.
Scott agrees. Sandbagger.
No, it's awesome to hear. I mean, it's funny, like the auto posting is something we don't really advertise all that much as a key feature, but I have heard from a lot of folks that
we had no
helpful,
idea.
Right.
We had no idea.
I don't worry about it. So it's something I use
the Gin app to do the hole by hole scoring and keep the stats. And so I got done with my round, I posted my score, and then we finished up with Loop, and I got a notification, hey, you just double posted. And I was like, how?
Yeah.
How did I do that? Yeah. So then I found it and turned off the auto post. But hey, it's a cool feature.
So yeah. how many of you are like stats trackers? I
used to be big time. I was a big time stats tracker.
And Joe and Jeremy and Dan are too good to care about stats.
Yeah. It's just, for me, it's just never helped me. You know, it's like, okay, I have a lot of putts and I'm missing both ways. All right. next round.
Yeah.
I used to be crazy and like spreadsheets deep. And I don't know why I stopped doing it. Yeah, it used to be. Now I just look at the stats on the app and analyze that, but I don't take it all and input it and then compare holes and compare slope ratings and what I shot. And
damn, you were in it.
It was bad.
Yeah, that's
it was bad.
That's deep.
And, you know, when I stopped is when I started getting better. So,
yeah. Next shot, you know, next shot up. And execute, and you'll be just fine.
So how did you guys, where did the idea come from? Whose idea was it? And how did it actually start?
Yeah,
so I'll provide a little separation real quick, because I don't want to overlap with Thomas. Mm-hmm. Thomas and Matt are the brain children of this thing. I came in down the road. So I don't want people to associate like I was in at the ground floor. Like these two, Matt and Thomas, Matt not being here, are the people who came up with this awesome idea. So I just want to make sure there's that separation.
Got it.
But Barrels is a huge part of everything that we do. So we greatly appreciate all of his contribution to the team. Similar to what we all just talked about, right? I mean, we were customers ourselves of golf, right? And Matt and I met each other when we were both at Square, the mobile payments company. We became good friends in addition to our other good friend who is the CFO of Cash App. And we loved getting out and playing golf. And, you know, that's what we became friends over. That's what we loved to go do. And obviously, as is the case with 85% of golfers, we would play for money when we played. And it just so happened that we kept running into the pain points of coordinating, scoring, and then ultimately settling a real money match over and over again. And I always talk about this one round in particular, because this is really where we started focusing our attention. And it was like the tail end of 2019. We had a fantastic match, 2v2. Tons of shit talking, tons of action. I was always a scorekeeper. So I'm, you know, there's so many presses and there were so many CTPs and longest drives and all this shit. I'm scribbling it all in the corner of the scorecard by the end of the round. And not only that, right, but like you've got the dots. So you're keeping track of all the handicaps. And we, you know, you're on 16 tee box, 17 tee box, 18 tee box. And everyone's like, where's the action? How much am I up? How much am I down? And, you know, exactly. And I'm like trying to do the math in my head while also figure out what club I'm going to hit, et cetera, right? So you kind of like get the picture. And I think any golfer who plays for money has had this happen. In addition to just, you know, folks who want to be in the action, but don't necessarily know how to track everything, right? There's that element that's really important too. And so we were driving home and we were like, you know, spent 45 minutes afterwards agreeing on the outcome. Figuring out, you know, who was going to actually pay who, how much they owed. Oh, you have Venmo. Well, we use Cash App. Oh, I have cash. And it's like, dude, this is ridiculous. Like, ultimately, we're just trying to elevate our experience of playing golf and having something to play for, right? So we're driving home and we're like, there's got to be something that actually solves these problems. And we, you know, from that point on, just all independently kind of started looking and eventually got to the point where we're like, there's some stuff out there kind of around the edges. Like there's some products that do it, but it's, you know, not necessarily core to what they do. But the key piece that we discovered was that there wasn't a single product that actually had settlement with real money at the center of the product experience. And that was really important for us because everyone has all these disparate payment methods, right? And at the end of the day, just as consumers, we were like, the vision was like, you hit settle, and no matter how much action you have, no matter how many presses, all the shit that's happening, handicaps, it's just settled. And it just ledgers immediately into your wallet. You don't have to worry about it. You have peace of mind that as soon as that 18th hole is scored and the scorekeeper hits settle, you're getting paid, right? No one's like, hey, I'm going to get you next time. Or, hey, like, I'll buy lunch. Or
I'll get you a beer.
This, that, or the other thing. I'll get you a beer. It's like, no. Like, you know, it's the money. MJ quote. Like, I want your money in my pocket. And it's not malicious, right? It's just like we agreed to these terms, and you know, let's settle this thing once and for all. And you know, and it's awkward, right? It's awkward and tedious to ask someone 2 days later, like, hey, can you send me that?
Where's that $5, like, dude?
You won't. It doesn't happen. So, you don't do it.
No one does it. So no one does that. So that was really important for us, right? Was actually having settlement with real money at the center of it. And we worked at a payments company, a mobile payments company, and so we had a good idea of kind of the supply chain and the infrastructure required to actually incorporate that into a product like this. Little did we know what the gaming scene was actually like. You know, which was a whole nother beast. But that was sort of the epicenter of where the idea kind of came to light, and we kind of just slowly started running with it. And then next thing you knew, we were like, well, okay, we have these mock-up designs. Like, we know generally what we want to do. Like, let's put a pitch deck together and try and go race it up. And so we were able to raise a little over $1 million in 2 or 3 months, and the rest is kind of history. Yeah.
So you guys are all from the Bay Area, right? Like that area, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. So do you know Little Troy? You know Little Troy, Want to Be a Baller? That song?
No, I don't. I'm not from the Bay Area.
Okay, but I'm just saying, like, it, when you said, like, it just hit us, I just thought, like, there's got to be a better way. I want to be a baller, shakala. It just hit me. I mean, it's an amazing, amazing tool. Love it.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Have you had any like legalities as far as money transferring, taxes, you know, people claiming stuff like that, or any issues with that? Or because it's cash in, cash out, you don't even have to worry about that?
Yeah, there are considerations that we had to overcome. You know, this is an interesting use case. And in 2018, when DFS kind of started to take hold, and there's a couple statutes which helped DFS kind of become a viable product from a money movement standpoint, and that designation for DFS of game of skill kind of becomes, you know, really important for our use case, because there's two distinctions in gaming. There's game of skill and there's game of chance. Game of chance is like iGaming and online sports betting. And then game of skill is this grayer area where, you know, for DFS, it's like, oh, you can draft this player and that player and this player and that player. And like that team together, you're picking based on skill. So that doesn't have the same requirements that like an online sports betting game of chance sort of use case has from a regulatory standpoint. And so, you know, we had to navigate a lot of the intricacies on that front. It was, I would say, in 2022 was probably like our biggest work stream that we had to kind of execute on and overcome in order to then allow payment vendors to take us on as a customer. So yeah, there was a lot on that front.
I bring that up because Vegas is really anal when it comes to anybody making money or spending money that's not regulated through the casinos. Daily fantasy sports, we can't play them here. We're not allowed. And it's crazy because DraftKings and
their home is here.
Their headquarters are here.
That's crazy.
We can't Yeah, and we can't even use that. And same thing with FanDuel. I think FanDuel is based here as well.
And we get all the commercials.
Yeah, and we can't do it. And even Golf Genius recently came out with some software for doing fantasy golf, where you everybody puts in $10 and you know it's pooled and winner takes it. But Vegas won't allow that either. So have you found anything as far as that goes, like Vegas going, hey, no, you can't do this in our house?
No, we haven't. I think, you know, our use case is so unique in that it's two individuals at the same place at the same time competing in the exact same environment. And so I think that is it's an important contributing factor to kind of the difference in legality that we kind of fall under versus some of the fantasy stuff. You know, a lot of the fantasy stuff, it's already, you know, if you look at a lot of these upstart kind of daily fantasy products, like Underdog is an example, right? Like they are towing the line in a, you know, between it being like game of chance or game of skill versus what's there. I think those products are far more scrutinized than like our use case, which is like, you know, Barrels and I going out and playing a 1v1 match in the same conditions, you know, for each other's money versus a house, right? Like there's no, with Lube, like there's no house, right? That's kind of creating the lines or creating the pool and having payouts. It's like, we're paying for $5 and it's either your money or it's my money. And it's kind of a known amount, known quantity.
Yeah, it makes sense because it's probably going to happen anyway, right? I mean, it's so interesting because Vegas is just such a different place. Like, I'm born and raised in Las Vegas, so like, you know, we grew up with the, you know, the mafia stories and the casinos being a mafia themselves, and like
you used to be able to ride your bike at night.
Yeah, it's crazy, and it's just interesting. It's super interesting. We're a different market, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So what's the user count right now? Where are you guys at?
So we're almost at 8,000 total downloads.
Yeah.
So we're getting awesome. There. It's getting up there. You know, I think we the last, I would say, couple of quarters, we've seen a nice inflection as I think there was a lot of like, so we launched the open beta of the product in September of 2022, and anytime, in full transparency, anytime someone like went to go start a game, we were like, please work, just please work, because we decided to do an open beta instead of like what's considered a closed beta. And a closed beta would be like, oh, we only allow 200 people and you have to get a code in order to go into that. We were just like, let's put it out there. Let's just put it out there. Let's see what the reception is like. Let's see what people are requesting, right? Like feedback that folks have. So, you know, it was great because we received a ton of great feedback from the community, but it was also a little scary because we didn't know if the product was actually going to work. But then in March of 23, we launched we came out of beta, and so we kind of officially launched the product. We felt like it was in a really great spot. We brought on our first full-time technical software engineer in January of 23, and so we felt like, you know, at that point we had the product in a good space to really really get things cooking. So really, you know, one golf season under our belt thus far, and tons of learnings, but the product just keeps getting better and better. It's been cool.
I think it's fantastic. I mean, like, I literally, when I play golf, I want to use it every time, you know, and if I'm playing with someone, like, it's like, hey, are you on Loop? You know, and if they're not, I'm like excited to tell them about it and be like, hey, you got to sign up, you know, like, let's get a game going, you know, and if they are, it's like, oh, you're in the club, let's do it, you know, let's play. It's super fun.
One of the things I find is those solo rounds by yourself where you go and you put on like, hey, I'm out there, let's get it. To those rounds, that's just something I wouldn't care about, right? And now I got $150 riding on the line because people want action. It's like, okay, like this all like legit matters now. Thomas, to kind of piggyback on what you're saying, in my eyes, kind of being from the outside and looking at it, once the live betting kicked on, I feel like Loop went like from here and then just kind of quickly shot up this like level of people being kind of very aware of like what's going on. And like, you know, I had a PGA player reach out to me and was like, how are you doing this live betting thing? And I'm like, dude, it's this app. Like, this is how you do it. He's like, yeah, I need to learn more about this. And I was like, yeah, for sure, man. Like, I'll set you up. But yeah, people, I mean, it's like people love that.
Yeah, if I see Beryl's post, so I'm like, fun. He's playing Stonebrae again, so I'm throwing $5 down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You're at Ramshill, and I'm like, yeah. Oh, man. You know, but one thing that I hate it when the boys are out playing and I'm not. It drives me nuts.
He's the king of this.
And so we've used 18 birdies for a long time, like a real long time. And they updated it to where you could follow along the round and it would give you update. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, Joe just got a bogey on number 10, you know, and you can go back and look. And so that's how I would keep up to date with them. Then Joe stops using 18 birdies and nobody else is using it. And so now I'm like sitting at home, twiddling my thumbs going, how are they doing? You know, I want to know. And so this is like really made it entertaining for me because not only can I watch and see what's happening, but then I can throw a little skin in the game too. And it just makes it that much more, you know, and it's almost like talking shit. Like, you're not going to break 78 today.
Yeah.
I'll throw $10 on it that you ain't going to do it, you know?
And, well, I get buddies awesome. Like texting me, like me and my one buddy, it's like $40 every time we go back and forth. And he's following along. And the new update with the lock screen update.
Yeah, great update. So
So much good. So good. He'll text and be like, yo, bro, don't fuck up 17. Like, if you double, this is bad for you. And I'm like, I'm on the tee box, man. He's like, I'm just saying. I'm like, thanks, dude.
Yeah. Matt will throw a score out there. And I'm like, dude, I just doubled the last hole. Like, I'm not taking your bet. Yeah, you better drop that down a couple strokes.
Exactly, shout out Rob. I love that take.
So, So for folks who don't know, like live bets is who are tuned in, basically it allows you to place an over bet right on total score. So if you're a non-participant and your friends are out playing, you're able to say, hey, I'm going to take over 85 for $5. And then the individual who's playing, the participant, they'll get a notification, you know, saying that you proposed that. So they're obviously taking the under of 85 in that case, saying that they'll be able to shoot under 85. And then you now have kind of $5 on the line. If you win, you get the $5. If they win and shoot 84, then they get the $5. And so, you know, the money is kind of all handled for you. It's all real money. It just allows you to get some skin in the game, like Matthew said, even if you're kind of sitting behind your desk during a work day.
Yeah.
Well, did you give them the pitch for the commercial already?
Oh, dude. Well, you know, that's there it. Are millions of people listening, so there's a chance that someone takes on and runs with this. But what I said, a great commercial, if you guys ever get to a point where you're doing commercials, a great commercial would be, you know, have some buddies on the tee box talking about, hey, let's wager, let's get a game going. And then one of them going, no, I'm not playing with you because you never pay. You never pay at the end. You never square up. And he goes, and he goes, I'm not going to wager with you unless Loop can hold the money. And then he's like, all right, fine. And you go, hey, Loop, get over here. And like a caddy comes up with a shirt that says Loop on it. And he holds all the money and he keeps score, you know, and at the end, you know, he turns into an app, you know, and
Yeah. I love it. Loop is like, that's exactly where the name came from, right? It's an homage to loopers and the fact that, you know, a looper is out there doing all the hard work for you so that you can have the best time possible. And that's the genesis of the product, right? Except it's just solely for the folks who love to throw it around. It's a great idea.
Okay, so I know each of us probably has an idea that we think that we want to share with you guys. In no way is this, you have to do this, just going to lob them out there and see what you guys think. So we have noticed, because we will play a lot of net matches, because like I said, Dan and Jeremy, they'll whoop us.
They're ballers.
Yeah, they're ballers. And Joe and I, kind of in the similar skill set. Joe's
We can ball occasionally.
Every now and then. So we play the net game. But there's no net score until it's done. So if you're looking at the leader, if you're looking at the leaderboard, it just shows the gross scores. And then after it's totaled, it'll show the net totals and the payouts. Is there any way that you guys can incorporate the net score on the scorecard?
So is this for any game type or only
just when we're doing stroke play?
Okay. So if you're playing net, we don't show, we do show the net over or under par in the leaderboard. But we don't show the net cumulative, which I think is that what you're getting at?
Yeah.
So you can actually see the cumulative of what you're at.
Yeah. We had a round progresses. Yeah. We had a round where, we were playing with, Reed and, I think it was Joe, myself and
Adam.
And, no, it wasn't Adam. I can't remember who it was. Anyway, we got to the end and, we all shot 83 gross. I was like, oh, cool, everybody gets their money back. But I forgot we were playing a net game, you know, and so then afterwards, I was looking at, because it didn't make sense. I'm like, why did I get more money than the other guys? And then we saw, I won the net game. And that's what is a net game. So there was no net score. So we didn't know, like standing on the 18th tee box, we didn't know where we stood in the net game, just in the gross game, if that makes sense.
Got it. Yep. We did talk about doing a toggle on the scorecard. So if you go horizontal in a live match, you have the scorecard, right? And it always has a cume, your cume score to any point that you're at. And we have talked about putting a toggle there if you're playing stroke play, where you could go gross or net so that you could see exactly what your differential is on a cumulative basis progressing through the round. There also is on the leaderboard a toggle. If you're playing net, you can toggle gross and net directly. It's like to the right of your name, but to the left of the amount that you're up or down on a dollars basis, I believe. So keep an eye out for that. Okay. But I do like the idea of cumulative absolute numbers, right, on a gross and a net basis so that you can see.
Yeah, just so you know where you're at down the stretch.
Yeah.
I'm taking notes, Thomas. No, I love that. I got it.
Perfect.
You know, hey, two of us two of us don't. And, you know.
Yeah. It's context is huge, right? When you're out there playing, and we want to absolutely alleviate as much of any of the mental math that has to be done. We want to alleviate. So I love that idea.
Jim, you got anything?
Yeah. My biggest thing is I know that when you start a game, there's only one player assigned to do the scoring.
Yeah.
So I hit Barrels up a few weeks ago and I said, you know, I was playing in three groups of us and only one of them had Luke and he was in the group behind me. So he had to text me every time to say, hey, I got a four on that one. I got a five on that one.
Got it.
So I think it would be, I know that. So the whole idea is to put someone in charge and make sure everyone is like consistent in their scoring, but there's also people playing solo rounds. So if it's a trust factor, you have to trust that person. And I think if you're involved with Loop, you probably know them to some extent.
Yeah,
you can trust them. So the ability to have a player post their own scores or assign two scorers per foursome or something like that, and I think that's the biggest thing, because the first time me and Matt did it, I was like, Matt's not putting in scores quick enough. Like, I want to know where I'm at. And we were in the same group. I'm like, hey, did you update it? Did you update it yet? This is when we were playing high. Because I was whooping him, so I wanted to know where I was headed.
That's why he wasn't putting him in there. He didn't want to.
Exactly.
I was like, trying to do the old walk into the car.
I know that's a different aspect, but if not everyone is on Loop, and because we have a league, right? We usually have, we're sitting at 85 now.
83.
It's just the beginning of the season, right? So we have a 72 player field coming up. And if I want to play against someone in another group, you know, I can be like, hey, let's start a match. But you're four groups behind me.
I have no idea what you're shooting.
I don't want you to have to text me every time. So, because I put the game in and I don't want to have to put your score in. Like, I know you're playing with people that I know. I trust you. You know, I know you put your scores in. So that was my one thing, because it was a different aspect, right? And he was the only guy I knew out there. So, and he was on loop.
I'd be curious, Thomas, like thinking about that, because the first thing that comes, I love to press. I press like I'm making juice. How would that work from like a pressing standpoint if you got somebody that's like three holes behind you? Like, it would just pretty much have to be like a straight up match at that point, like, because pressing would be like off, right?
Yep. Non-existent at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you just, you know, I don't know, whoever's behind sort of has the meaning, whoever's playing five, if you're on eight, would have the ability to press, or, you know, once they, the match would, it's an interesting use case. There's two main things. The first is the one scorekeeper was initially like a technical challenge that we kind of had and figure like, okay, well, it's harder to do, right? Because once you open the aperture up to multiple people being able to adjust numbers at any given time, it's then much harder from a coding perspective to ensure accuracy. Yeah, there's a lot of variables, so there's a lot of different edge cases that can take place. The other piece here, though, is where we are eventually taking this is outside of four players. So, you know, what we want to be able to do is have a scenario where you just have a 36-person skins match, right? And everyone's on different holes at the same time. And you just want everyone to be able to either input their own score, or each group just has a scorekeeper who's inputting scores. And then you have a leaderboard of where everything stands in real time, right? It would effectively be like, oh, hole one, like best score currently is a four. And so as you're about to tee off, you're like, oh, okay, well, like I could birdie hole one and I would, you know, potentially get a skin. Right. And then, you know, in that case, the money movement pieces, I feel like that's the biggest pain point of all pain points, right? Within settlement is like these greater than four player events where you have to figure out as the coordinator how to collect all the money and then disperse all the money. And so it will,
it sucks.
You know, we will eventually have, you all probably are very familiar. And so, you know, that's ultimately where we think, you know, this tool can be very powerful in addition to just weekends, right? Weekend trips. So being able to do a Ryder Cup format.
Yeah, like 3 days, like a 3 day thing.
3 days, 3 days, Ryder Cup. You got your
5 days in Bandon in August.
We're all going to Bandon in August. So we're going to need that update by August, please.
Yeah. Just need about 10 more engineers. It's
200 in investors.
It's totally spot on, Joe, in terms of, I think, you know, where we definitely want to get to is just being able to kind of allow for that flexibility and, you know, whether it's that use case that you alluded to or, you know, greater than four players at the same time.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, you guys are still fairly new, right? So, and it's, you're listening to the community to find out what they need or what they want. And with your current updates, I mean, you're moving forward. It's still a new product. And I think we love it, you know, and it's only going to get better from here, which we have full faith in you guys to just listen to the community and do it. I mean,
our favorite piece is hearing exactly this feedback, because it helps us prioritize, right? There's there's so many different things on any given week that we could focus our attention on because we are so new, right? There's a lot of things that a lot of wood that we still have to chop in order to get to where, you know, we ultimately know this thing could be. And so hearing the feedback then allows us to be like, okay, we're hearing this or that a lot more than a few of these other things that we maybe thought were more important. So let's like, you know, dedicate a few weeks to kind of building out that feature or being able to scope something out today that we're going to do, you know, 6 to 12 months from now. So it's a huge part. Honestly, as we talk about it, because that's how we make decisions is based on feedback from our community. Like it really is through and through.
Totally.
And a great way to get feedback too is not, I mean, flood the DMs and let everybody know, but subscribing to the Sunday Sweat newsletter that comes out. There's a section at the bottom that says, you know, hey, like if we were to do an X update, what would you like to see? And there's like four options of things to pick from. Like that's incredibly valuable information that we can use then to kind of do what Thomas said and prioritize to see what these, you know, what everybody wants to do and how we then figure out, okay, how do we move forward with the next update?
Yeah. I haven't played with the new update yet. So is there a feature where it's like, if I'm a friend of someone on the app where I get a notification that says, hey, Barrel started a game.
Yeah, you should get
that. Yeah, so if you
on the new update there is.
And, yeah, so that's okay. always been there. And we have to do some work on discovery of this. Which is like its own rabbit hole, but basically if you just search someone from the community feed at the very top, there's a search bar. And so if you search a player and find their name and then hit follow in their profile. Once you hit follow, then you'll receive any notification when they tee off and or complete a game. And then
I usually don't turn on notifications because I don't trust anybody, but I trust you guys, so I'm gonna turn that on now.
Yeah, thank you. I know, I'm the same way. The newest release had two really, the last two releases had two really. I think one we already talked about, which was live activities.
Lock screen was so that's
if,
live screen.
If you have, yeah, if you have a live bet, you can just see things updating, you know, from, you know, tapping your lock screen. The other is projected score. So this is something where in that push notification, Joe, when if I tee off, it'll be like, oh, Thomas Ryan just teed off. Their projected score is 82. You know, get in on the action or, you know, whatever the copy is. So we kind of put that projected score directly in the push notification. So then when you go in to propose your live bet, like you already know what is, you know, what the projected score is.
I was actually curious about that because I saw that you guys released that recently. How does that calculate just off a slope and course rating and their typical score?
Exactly.
Joe was a little upset because it said he was going to shoot 91 index at Boulder Creek. So
no, don't listen to that.
So it is. So if you have a handicap link, handicap ID link, then you know we can know what your expected score is on each hole of any course that you play. So we kind of take based on the, you know, and it's based on the tee boxes that you're playing from, right? So, you know, if you're tipping it out, like your projected score is going to be higher because slope and rating is higher, et cetera. So it's a pretty refined figure. Like I've noticed, and we tested it a bunch, and people were within, you know, one or two of that projected score over 75% of the time.
I think I know so, you know, you too, have like it. Close. It's very, very close.
Mm-hmm. It's very close. Yeah. I was this round I played on this past Saturday. I mean, I was, you know, I think I was projected at 82 and then the whole round was pretty much like 81, 82, kind of went up to 83 at one point. And it's cool, right? Because as the player, you're kind of looking at that like, oh, am I trending up or am I trending down within this round? So it kind of is your own little benchmark as well.
Steven's chiming in.
As a better that AI that moves that number hole by hole, right? So like come 16, 17, 18, I think I had Thomas at like an 82 and it was like projected 81, projected 83, projected 82, and I'm like, come on, like what is going on? What are you doing? with Matt played and he blew up on 18 at Presidio and I was like, oh, but what happened here? He's like, it wasn't good. I was like, well, it's good for me.
I saw my projected score and I tanked.
He was emotionally scarred.
And what's cool is because of projected score now, it's like all these little things that add up. Because we had now projected score, we can we actually know if you're gonna win or lose a live bet in real time. So when we first launched live bets, it was always just assumed that you were winning, right? Because you were under until you were. But now because of projected score, it's actually like, okay, you're currently over, so you're going to lose. And so that potential loss is taken into account on your money in the card up top. So you'll see the net money position now takes into account whether you're losing or winning that bet, whereas before it was just kind of assumed you were winning until you get to 16, 17, or 18 and you go over wherever the line was. So it just creates another kind of element of having that peace of mind of knowing exactly where you stand while you're out there.
Yeah. Let's hear Jeremy and Dan.
Yeah, I want to see Jeremy's a coder, so I'm sure you've got something.
I do, but I don't want to lose listeners because I could talk about the tech part of it all night. No, I was just gonna say I haven't used it as much as Matt and Joe, but the thing I got excited about was sometimes you love playing golf with your buddies, but sometimes you just get it's not, you don't have anything you're playing for, even if you're playing a couple games, but having that accountability and having a scoreboard and stuff like that, it kind of makes every round feel like a mini tournament. Like there's pressure. That's the big thing for me. I love to have the pressure during a round of golf. So I think that's my favorite part about the app, and I'm definitely going to use it every round. So, but as far as, features and questions and stuff, I need to use it more, but so far I love it. Like, it's just cool. It adds to the game for someone like me that wants the competition that maybe isn't already always there when you're playing with your buddies.
Yeah. I agree more.
I was going to say, what I hear, Jeremy, is that you need to set your wager limit high, and we all need to go in on high bets for your over under.
There you go.
Yeah.
No, it was really cool. I had this one experience before we actually had launched live bets, but Matt and I had a $50 live bet, and I was playing a single player round, and so I get paired up with these two guys, and all the pleasantries up front, and then two or three holes in, I'm like grinding over a 2.5 footer. And the guy's like, "Hey, man, like that's good. If you want it, like you don't need to."
Yeah, you don't understand, bro.
You don't understand,
bro.
Man.
Yeah. But I'm like, no, dude. I have an over under with my buddy for $50. He's like, "Oh shit, no way." The rest of the round, this dude was locked in. Like there was this one hole where I blew one by the hole, and I hurried up to it, and I was getting ready to hit it, but like the group in front of us hadn't even teed off yet, and he was like, "Hey, no. God, like take your time. Like don't rush it. Yeah. So it was cool to see, to your point, Jeremy, like just adding a little bit, not only elevates it for yourself, but like it kind of brings the community element into the fold, right? And people like are all of a sudden just involved in your, in your action just as much as you
that
are.
That happens all the time with me too. It happened at PGA West. I was playing and I was on my phone. They're like, "Hey, what's going on?" I'm like, "Oh, I got $100 in live bets." And they're like, "Well, what do you mean live bets?" And I was like, "Well, this is how it works." And they're kind of like, "Whoa, this is awesome." And they're like, and they're asking me questions about it. And like, they're older guys. They're not going to download it. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah. From that point on, they were asking "Hey, where do you stand? Where are you? Are you good? Like, what's going on here?" And at the end of it, they're like, "Hey, how do we do? Are we up or down money?" I'm like, we kind of broke even." They're like, "Okay, good day. And I'll do work functions.
Good day, yeah.
And the guys are like, "Cool. What's going on? Like, where we sit? What's happening?" And I'm like, "Oh, well, we got a birdie, 18. And they're like, "Oh, all right, we'll get dialed. So the people who aren't associated with the app, but you start talking to them about it, like they quickly get honed in on what's going on. Okay, they're almost kind of cheering you on along.
Yeah,
the way.
They become involved at that point. Yeah.
All right, so we got a question. We got a question for you guys. Stephen Jackson's asking, at any point, is there going to be costs associated with placing a bet, like a percentage, flat rate, et cetera? I saw the fees are waived currently, but just curious.
I do want to expand on this.
Is this the Rams running back, Stephen Jackson?
No. Okay. This is world famous tattoo artist, Stephen Jackson.
Tattoo art. Go see him. He's on Russell and Rainbow. Go check out his tattoo shop. I do. I did think about this earlier, and this is something I did want to ask, because I have seen like zero fees, and then I've seen like a 99-cent fee. So, does it? What I thought in my head was, does it flip flop every time you play with someone, and somebody else gets the dollar fee, or how does that land? Because I've
seen currently we have two fees. One is on instant cash outs. So that's like similar to Cash App or Venmo. If you want to cash out and receive it immediately on your debit card, it's 1.75%. And then we have game fees. So game fees are $1 per player of a multiplayer game. So single player, obviously entirely free. Only if you're playing a multiplayer game and it's $1 per player. For live bets, there's no fee, and we don't intend on ever having a fee on live bets. So
you know, everybody in the group gets the buck. So if we have four players,
if you have four players, then each player is charged $1 for the multiplayer game. We want to, you know, obviously there's the business aspect. And so we want to do what's right by the business, but also do what's right by the customer. And we feel like, live bets is such an incredible and fun feature and kind of has a lot of novelty to it. And so, we want to make sure that there's no, there's no barrier to entry in terms of people being able to get it.
I think if you're playing golf, you shouldn't be complaining about $1. So I think
especially, it blows my mind the value some people don't see. Like people used to complain when stamps were 39 cents. It's like, dude, somebody comes to your house and picks up your mail and takes it across the country for you for 39 cents.
Good point. I never thought about it that way.
Yeah. It's a pretty good deal. So yeah, bug is not bad.
Yeah.
All right. So
I'm curious. We talked a lot about the live bets and like regular games. Are you guys using, because there's so many other features to the app. Have you guys played Wolf? Have you guys played Skins? Have you guys had the opportunity to use the GPS on there at all? We're kind of formulating this only app that you'll ever need when you're on the golf course, right? Keeping your score, doing your money, having your GPS associated. I'd love to hear any feedback if you guys had the opportunity to use any of those other features.
Joe's uses Skins.
I've done skins.
Match play.
Closest to the pin. We do match
the CTP
play.
Is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Side bets are awesome. Longest drive.
Would there be any way, or just here's an idea, what we'll do is everybody will hit on a par three and there's like, oh crap, forgot about the CTP, and then we'll throw it in. But it's already happened. So hey, par three, do you notification pops up. Hey, in your match right now, we've got a par three. Anybody want to get in on a closer to the pin action?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. That's a good one.
So we have I'm curious what you all think. We were considering having like side wagers be a part of create game. So you could say you want CTPs and you want longest drives, or one or the other on each par three or on each par five, right? Cause those are, the longest drives I feel like mostly are, and then you can always do an ad hoc one if you wanted to do it. But to actually have that be a part of create game where you could decide upfront if you just, and then it would be auto created for you, right? It'd be like, oh, you just played a par three. Everyone is automatically in for, $5. And then before the scorekeeper goes to score, we would just say, oh, remember to select the winner from the closest to the pin. So curious what you guys think about that.
Do it right now. Yeah.
Do it.
Implement that tomorrow.
Like check that
Jeremy,
box.
Jeremy, can you code that for us right now?
Yeah.
I'm actually working on it right now.
Perfect. Put that PR up.
I'm about done with it.
Take a look at it.
Okay. So
That's good feedback.
We all have this friend. They've got the green bubble on their text messages.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Is Android happening?
That is a hot topic.
And if it's and if it doesn't, I don't care.
Buy an iPhone.
Buy an iPhone.
We have gone back and forth on this a million times, and it's such a large incremental lift at present that we have punted it another year at this point. Not saying that that couldn't change in 2024, but it very likely it won't be happening in 2024, though we know that we do need to do it. It's interesting because we did the survey work beforehand, and it's 80-20 in favor of iPhones, the golf market is. And other operators in the space that we've talked to indicate that it's even more in favor of iPhones, and it's more like 85-15. And so with kind of these incremental data points that we have acquired on that front, it's been like harder and harder to kind of justify the investment quite yet. But all it takes is one, right?
Yeah.
You got a group that's ready to go, and all it takes is one person having that green bubble to kind of potentially
those green bubbles probably don't pay out anyway, so I mean, you probably get a lot of emails about like dollar fee per player.
Gotta wait for my T-Mobile rebate to come in.
I love the
if you I'm gonna assume that you guys are iPhone users because you're clearly behind the app. But if you were an Android user, would this app have gone to Android first?
Probably. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean. So said differently, it would not have gone there first because the math or the survey work, right, was still 80-20 in favor of iPhones, but it would already be there now. That's for sure. Yeah, we probably would have used.
Rob's got a new motto for you guys. We don't make your golf trips. We make your golf trips better.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That is amazing. So
yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, yeah, I just every time I see a green bubble, I just shake my head.
A convert. He easily, you know, he just recently switched to an iPhone. He was the only one in all of our group chats, and we finally converted him.
Amazing,
attaboy.
Okay, so
yeah, we also on that point really quick. We do have a buddy who has an iPod Touch that he keeps in his golf bag that he then hooks up to the Wi-Fi on his Android. In order to use Loop when he plays.
That is that's hilarious.
Amazing.
Isn't that good?
All right. We're going to have to tell Woody that. go to Goodwill. So, find an iPad Touch.
We will buy them an iPod Touch.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, we need to let Rob know. One guy left. One guy left. Yeah.
Yeah, Rob likes to have that.
Easy Money hats are in the Instagram shop.
Nice.
Buy those on IG.
So this is a Loop hat. Yep, Loop hat. And then we also have a bucket too, which are super fire. So this is my guerrilla marketing for today.
Yeah, you have a bucket hat?
Yeah, we got a black bucket hat too, which is really good.
Definitely going to get one of those. That's a good looking hat.
Sun hat is coming.
Yeah.
The sun is coming.
Yeah, we're working on some more swag as we're kind of picking up our community events that we're starting to do locally. So we're, you know, kind of this whole figuring out what people like hats is such a tricky thing because
everybody's wearing
a different hat, right? Dude. And everybody has a different style. Yeah. So we're trying to figure out what's the swag that people like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
it's so all many hats.
Many hats.
Flat brim, you like mesh, you like semi-curved.
Yeah.
You like super curved.
Structured, unstructured.
You know, that's the problems I have. One of the problems I have with the golf league is like, you know, I got 80 guys that all have different preferences. And it's like, well, in order to get a good deal on a hat, I got to do a, you know, 100 hat bulk order.
Yeah.
So I'm going to piss off 75% of the league because they don't like it. So I don't do hats.
So true.
Yeah.
So, all right. So what's next? What's the next update? How often do you think you guys are going to schedule updates and what's coming on down the road?
Yeah, so we have we usually do about one a month, would you say, Bartels, kind of updates, product updates? About one a month, I would say. So next we're gonna have right now GPS isn't available for all golf courses. We kind of have had it in a beta state for a little while now. So, you know, we're going to, you know, ideally get that out to everyone. So any course that you have or that you could play at, we'll be able to support. We are also building out subscriptions. So we'll kind of have, you know, GPS will be a feature, for instance, that, you know, you'll be able to have full access to, no transaction fees, no game fees. With subscriptions, you'll have access to special merch, as Bartels was just talking about, in addition to access to the events that we're starting to put on, which are kind of 8-player 2v2 match play events. And so, you know, there will be kind of some special access there in addition to the merch. I think that's mostly it right now, near term. We kind of just had a few big updates over the last couple of months. So kind of some smaller stuff in the near future. It's kind of clean things up a little bit, you know, make sure things are moving fast. As Jeremy knows, like, you know, tech debt sort of amounts. And I think, you know, while we're in January and February before peak season, just try and clean some of the little stuff up, just make sure things are operating really efficiently and smoothly for everyone.
So
we've had a good problem recently where we've been hitting some of the scale, like, thresholds from a, like, back end engineering standpoint that we need to kind of go back and rework a little bit. So some of that is you know, good problems to have, but nonetheless, still got it.
It's a clean app. That's it's very user friendly. It's very clean. It's very responsive, and not a lot of golf apps are like that. So,
no, yeah. Appreciate that.
It's the one thing too. Yes, kind of where we're going for the future is, Thomas brought it up. We're starting to kind of build out our community. So we're noticing, you know, kind of regionally where people are located, where they're playing, and, you know, it's fun when you have your buddies, but we want to kind of build this out to where you meet some of these other people in your area that are using the app as well, that you can golf with, connect with, live bet with, do whatever with. So yeah, we're doing these 2v2, we get random pairing, it's best ball. So the front nine, you and your partner play, and then you play the winners of the second group on the back nine. We got them going to NorCal. They're going to be starting up in the SoCal area. We got a guy out in New York who has reached out and said, like, hey, I want to get in on it. Yeah, if you guys are in on it, I mean, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for passionate individuals who want to, you know, grow this app and grow this community and get people going. The idea is that as we kind of build up and do all these different events, that at the end of the year, we'll kind of have this big cash game. So, you know, whether that's, we've got some close friends that have places up in Sand Valley and some other spots. So it's like, you know, how do we take advantage of these spots to say, like, hey, if you're a winner of your event, we're going to do this big cash one, you know, entry fee gets cut to go towards the big pot and everybody gets special swag for that event. But yeah, that's kind of like where the future is going for things outside of just the app while still incorporated in the app.
Yeah. We're definitely trying to grow this thing out here in Vegas. We love it. Yeah. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah!
Every time we play, if you're not on it, you're getting asked about it. So
I cannot wait. I cannot wait for the day, and it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen to when we're paired up with a rando, and they go, "Hey, are you guys on loop?"
Yeah,
I can't wait for that day. Wait for that day.
our current goal is to get our entire league on Loop Golf, so we can do those matches with different groups and things like that. Like, I mean, we last year we had 110 players
in the league.
Yeah,
in the league.
What was it? God,
this is one of my board of directors. No, we had 96, Joe. 96.
Well, you know, I'm an optimist. I'm an optimist.
And it's our goal to get this app to be the point where, like, when you guys are setting this up, kind of what Thomas said, you just kind of put everything in. Hey, here are the players. Here's the cash. Here, let the app run. It kind of like, you know, a better version of Golf Genius, if we can say that. I don't know. But I mean, it's kind of what we're going for, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just making it super easy for everyone to have a great time and be able to, what Jeremy was saying, be able to have some skin in the game. you know, and it's everyone has more fun when you got a little something on the line. And it doesn't have to be a crazy amount of money. Everyone has their own thresholds, and that's totally, totally okay. But ultimately, you know, whether it's a buck, $5 or $1,000, like it's just a bunch of fun. And we just want to make it as easy as possible in order for, you know, to allow folks to rise to the occasion.
I've seen on the screen, on the wagering, the over under, there's also birdies coming soon. What's that about?
Yeah. So, can't share my screen, but basically what we, where we'll eventually take that is you can do total birdies, total bogeys. And you can kind of think of it as like birdies are better, bogeys are worse. And so, you know, in addition to total score, you could do like, okay, total score, but in addition, I'm going to take the under on two birdies, or I'm going to take the over on 10 or 12 bogeys. It's just it'll be an additional way to kind
prop
of
bets.
Look at prop bets, you know, through a couple different lenses.
All right. So another question I have, and you hit on this a little earlier about how you hate stats, but is stat tracking going to be part of it?
Well, so I asked because I'm curious. I mean, we've always been pretty staunchly against incorporating stats, and it's mostly from a design perspective. It just can very quickly take away from the experience that we're ultimately, you know, trying to provide, which is a simple, clean experience that's, you know, that's elegant but still gets you the information that you want to do and still has the flexibility that, you know, that I think anyone who's playing for money wants. Stats and like enter in stats and you like can potentially blow out the UI and user interface, and it just can get really messy really fast.
So could you do it like post round, like on your profile you could go back and put in your stats, and then somebody could, you know, look at your profile and go, hey, you're playing this course, on this course you average, you know, 10 pars, 2 birdies, 35 putts or whatever, and they would have kind of a little bit of data for the prop bets.
So here's a question. Do you care mostly, like, are you mostly looking at, you know, missing the fairway left and right, or are you mostly just wanting to know, like, did I hit the fairway, how many putts did I have, and how many curves did I have?
This guy is a nerd, so
yeah. spreadsheets.
Yeah, so spreadsheet.
I mainly it's fairways, greens, and putts. You guys know 18 birdies. You have to because of what you're in. Yeah. So 18 birdies recently did an update to where now when if you hit or miss a fairway, it'll ask you, did you miss it left? Did you miss it right? Did you miss it short? Okay. Did you miss it long? And they're doing that with greens too. And I like looking at that just to review it, because I know over the last 2 years, my missed green percentage, I'm like 45% of my missed greens are short. So that made me go,
interesting.
I have an issue with, you know, getting the ball to the green. And so my goal has been to get that number way down. And by tracking those, I've been able to see that in my rounds that I've played this year, you know, I've got that number down to like 16%. So, it's an area that it helped me improve my game. So
I will say, I don't think your target audience is stat trackers.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I think in that case, it's like, if I could bet on Matt hitting over under 7 fairways, like that'd be cool.
Yeah.
If I can bet on him hitting 9 or more greens, that would be cool. You know, like, or even over under on putts, like 30 putts or less, that could be cool too.
Yeah,
as far as stat tracking goes,
the putts one's cool.
I've done that with a few folks. Where like leading up to a match, everyone's talking shit, and you like, you know, the guy who's been an absolute mental case with their putter. You're like, hey, side bet, I'll take under.
You got the main guy right here, the president. Matt's the president of that club, just right there.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Straight in their dome. No, I'm glad you brought it up, because we do think about it a fair amount. I think it's good a good thing for us to consider, you know, especially because it could serve those two purposes, right? Where it could actually provide you insights, Matt, to your point, but then Joe, to what you said, you know, you also then create another potential profit that the community would absolutely love. So
totally.
there's a couple benefits to it for sure. And yeah, I always track putts. Putts I'm always tracking in my head, right? After the round, of course, you know, when I'm trying to go to sleep and I'm playing every single shot back through my head, you know, I'll just go back and come back.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You're probably the only one in this podcast that changes their putter every round. So
hey, the long neck hasn't gone anywhere in a while. So
dude, putting is
so I got so one question funny. For you. What's the largest bet you've seen come through the app?
Ooh, great question.
So we saw this one group do it was 100, 100, 500 on NASA. And they had three full court presses throughout the match. One on the front and then two on the back. So that was the biggest game that we've seen.
Where did they play? Were they playing like Wingfoot or something? Where did they play?
No, it was a course it was like a random course up in Northern California.
Wow.
Like kind of just north of what people would consider the Bay Area. So it was just totally random. It was like a Tuesday. And they were like two new customers.
That's cool.
Just going out there. And,
two doctors and found some free time.
Yeah.
Just casual.
They were
Tuesday.
Pressing it up and everything. Yeah.
Oh, that's like, hilarious.
You were watching it.
I didn't know that.
It was on the back end. Yeah. And we were, I mean, it was pretty early. Like, it was pretty early on, too. And so we were like, shit, hopefully, like, everything works for these guys. Cause if there's anything wrong, like, you know, they're going to be very unhappy.
They're so. Mailing out some cashier's checks.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Is there a desktop version to where people could follow along desktop, or is it app only?
There's not. It is app only.
Okay. You guys don't.
But
need
yeah,
that.
We have. Yeah, it's something we've thought about, mostly because like future roadmap could, you know, you could imagine wanting something like that, but not in the near future, at least.
No, I mean, down the road, you're definitely going to have an interface to where you can go on and preload everything if you're doing tournaments and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, if you're doing tournaments, yeah. For sure. Yeah.
That's yeah.
Well,
that's
yeah. Dumb. Tournaments.
We'll probably do laptop, desktop before Android.
Yeah. Make the green tax folks wait it out.
Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. This is not.
At least they could get on at that point. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, they would just bring their MacBook out there.
Yeah. The one thing I think I've gotten a lot of feedback on is when you decline a live bet, being able to propose a new number to somebody.
Oh,
yeah, I like that. Yeah,
that's one that I've gotten a lot. Is like, hey, I wish I could just tell them, like, yo, you got me in a 78, and I haven't broken 80 all year. Like, I'll take in. You want to do 82, and then they can say, like, yeah, I'll accept that.
Yeah,
yeah. I like so. That. Joe was playing, and I put a number in there, and he declined it. So I text him. I go, pussy. And yeah. Yeah. And so that I just lowered it by one.
Yeah,
I had somebody give me a. I had somebody give me a 10. I was like, I don't think you know how the app works. This is not a number.
This isn't total bogeys here.
Yeah.
Right. So chat. What do we think about chat?
So I've got an idea about chat. So I would like to see a chat that the player can't see until afterwards. Like
interesting. That's really interesting.
Wow.
So it's like you know, it's almost like watching a live tournament and you're in a text chat with your friends.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Like you know, we're big fans of Harry Hall. He's a UNLV kid and he's been on the show and we love watching him. So anytime he's out or playing well in a tournament, we're always texting. So, you know, I would love that feature, like, you know, Joe's playing in a tournament, you know, that we're all not playing in and we put some money on him and then have a text chat like on the Loop app about that.
Like,
oh, he just fucked up on nine.
And so is it mostly so that it doesn't disturb the player? Like it doesn't distract the player.
Exactly.
But everyone else can still can still kind of have their phone inside. Sometimes
you need to disengage a little bit from social media when you're playing, you know, an important event.
You might find out who your real friends are
at that point.
Definitely going to blow it on this. It's a great point, because I think something that we always think about and talk about is the fact that, you know, we want to use technology and leverage technology to make everything easier and elevated. But we also don't want it to be too invasive, right? To the point where you're out there for a nature walk and you just spend the whole time on your phone, you know, in between shots, messaging with everybody. And, you know, it's a little overwhelming. And you get to this point where, you know, you're at the end of the round and, you know, you didn't even disconnect really at all, right? You're just, you know, still texting and doing all the shit. So it's a tricky balance. You know, I think there's, there's definitely a part where chat can be really great for exactly what, you know, Bartels, you were talking about. Right now, that's the biggest use case we see. It's like people who you propose a bet and maybe it's like 25 mile per hour wins, right? And so even projected score wouldn't take that into account. Even this past weekend, right, it had rained for two days straight leading up to our round. It was a mud pit in a lot of places. And so, you know, I started seeing a lot of these projected scores come in. I'm like, I don't know, like, that's, you know, with these conditions. So at that point, you would want to just, you know, you would almost start the round out and say like, hey, really sloshy, you know, wet, shitty conditions out here. Like, my line is a, you know, 84 instead of an 82 or something. But, you know, to your point, Matt, you don't want it to be, you know, a distraction and take away from the fact that, you know, you're getting outside and,
or even have an option to where the player, you know, hey, hide chat or engage in chat.
You know? Yeah. So you can kind of opt in, opt out. Yeah.
What about the player setting their line? Oh, I guess that would kind of go back to the house type of situation.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, well,
because when I do it, like, I'll get on Instagram and say, like, hey, I'm feeling like an 86 today. And then I'll get people going to like 86 and a half, 85, like, you know, when they see it on Instagram and then they go to Loop and they propose the live bet, like, I kind of say like, this is where I'm feeling for the day. But I don't know how that would work otherwise. I feel like I'm part of these guys and not Loop so much right now.
Well, propose is something we thought about initially. The issue that we ran into is like, chat can serve that purpose and other purposes as well. So from just a resource standpoint, it's like, is it worth building out a propose feature or a set your line feature when we could just spend that time building something like chat, which could serve that purpose?
So that makes sense.
It's a tricky one. Projected score has helped that a lot.
Huge.
But
yeah, that's really a unique feature, you know, that it's math. Right, it's math. If you're true to your scores, then, you know, it's what it's going to be.
Yeah, there's a few folks I'm 0-4 on right now that I'm like,
Wait, I'm looking at mine right now. Am I maybe one of those people?
I
got like $100 in there right now, so I'm like, hey, off a $20 start, that's not bad. I'm pretty happy.
No, that's not bad at all.
No,
that's big time.
Little nickel here, little nickel there.
We used to do Loop leaderboards. I think we were doing them like once a month for a little bit, where we would not put the actual dollar amount, but we have a dashboard on our back end where you can pick the time period and you know like who's up or down the most amount of money, kind of like leaderboard style. We were posting those on IG at one point. I really liked it. I thought it was fun to be able to see.
Yeah, that's
at one point, like, cool. My mom was at the top and my dad was at the bottom. And I just thought it was awesome that they were just out there throwing it around, taking each other's money.
Oh, that's too funny.
That's funny.
All right. So how would you guys recommend we do our Bannon trip? It's in August. There's 8 of us going. We're playing 36 a day for 4 or 5 days. How at this point, is there anything that you'll can recommend we do, or should we wait for some releases, or is it going to be 2025 before we get a big group to where we can, you know, set it up and have multiple matches?
Yeah, it's probably 25 when we'll have probably both multi-match, which would be like multiple matches within. So like you do a 2v2 and 2 1v1s, right? Or multiple 1v1s. Mm-hmm. And then tournament mode is kind of what we're considering, like greater than 4 players skins or Ryder Cup. Those are very likely 2025 initiatives. The way I've always liked using the product for larger groups is kind of doing like the 2v2 round robin matches, so that, you know, it's especially great to do for one day. You're playing 36 holes, right? And you can kind of set up a bracket to where the winners are playing each other. You can do a loser's bracket if you want, but it's kind of like a March Madness style event, where you can do a winner's and a loser's bracket, and you can kind of do that for each day. So it resets, so you have a different teammate, right, for each day. We also have a trip in August in Bandon, so we're also kind of figuring out with the coordinator of that. It's
when are you going?
I think it's the 14th, what dates? August 14th.
Let me look. I'm the coordinator, so let me look, pull up these dates real quick.
Yeah. 3rd through 7th.
Oh, we're the 3rd through the 7th?
Week before you.
Yeah. Oh, we'll be the week before. So
you'll find all the loop stickers on the course that we've left. So
yeah. Yeah, perfect.
Oh, yeah. Stickers is a good idea.
That's how I've done it. You know, you can also do kind of like, I don't know. I just personally love match play. Like match play is my, it's just always been my go-to. Like, you know, the only time I ever even play skins on loop is if we only have 3 people. And then we do like a progressive skins. But if it's only 2 people or 4 people, it's either 2v2 or 1v1. And just press it up as much as humanly possible. but that's, you know, I think that's what we'll likely do in our band in trip. Kind of do bracket style. Each day will be a little bit different.
Yeah.
The one thing I would love to see for trips, and this is something I said from the start, is an ace pot. Because when aces happen, nobody pays. And if everybody throws in 10, 15 bucks at the start of a trip and that ace happens and you cash it out, like that, to me, it's epic. Like when that gets put on the app, I can die happy.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, it's the Japan style. It's like the dude that made the ace pays for everything. And I never understood that. I'll never understand that in my entire life.
It makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense.
I'm so complaining when I botched a dinner that night.
Yeah, well, I wasn't. If I'm the guy made an ace. And so Matt made an ace when we were at Lake Oconee in Georgia, and it was his first ace ever. And we were like, hey, where are we going? You know, of course. I felt for you deep down, but I was like, hey, it's Japan rules. You know, where are you getting me food at?
It was so sad because the course we played, it was desolate because we played a morning round and afternoon round, and it was the afternoon round. And so everything was closed, you know, and we're used to Vegas where things are open 24 hours. The bar Vegas was closed. The restaurant was closed. We had to go into town and find this, like, what was it called?
Dude, we went to Mellow Mushroom. That's a
Mellow
that's
Mushroom. A chain, that's what it was.
Oh, Mellow Mushroom. Yeah.
Mellow Mushroom is bomb. I love Mellow Mushroom.
Yeah.
That's so brutal though, to not be able to just stop right after the after the round, go into the clubhouse and just drive 20 minutes. The next day we
drive in. I wanted to get a flag. You know, I got it mounted up there. And I go in. And I go, do you guys have flags? And they're like, yeah. I said, awesome. I said, I got my first ever hole in one yesterday. And she's like, $30. Wow. Thank you for shitting on my moment.
And the worst thing is it's a Lake Oconee flag, right? It's just the
Yeah, it says Reynolds Lake Oconee. It's not the preserve course. Yeah.
It's not like because they only have one flag out there. Bannon,
every course
Bannon
has the
same. Does it properly. You know, they have a flag for every course. Yeah. So
it was still an awesome move.
But it was awesome.
Wait, so what was the yardage, the club?
165, 6 iron from 165.
Amazing. And was it just like a one hop drop? Was it like a
it was
like 12 feet in front?
Yeah,
bounced and rolled in.
Yeah, so it's funny because I'm not a big hitter, and we're with Dan, Joe, and our buddy Bob, who all hit the ball deep, and so I'm playing up a box. They're fucking around in the back box after they've already hit.
I think Dan and Bob are like tossing clubs in the.
They're back there talking about Rochambeauing and each other for drinks, and I'm up there by myself and hit this hole in one. And Bob was like, "Did that just go in?" Yeah. I'm blind. I couldn't see. So
I was literally on the box. I was like, I felt it in my heart, and probably Barrels, you probably feel this. Like I felt it in my heart. I should film this, but I was so distracted by the other two guys. I was like,
the other two fucking around. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was.
But awesome. I'll never forget. It was a great moment.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a good time.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I don't even know if we want to get into this. Was so good. I don't even know if we want to get into the other shit that took place. But I'll ask you guys anyways. What's your thoughts on the Tiger Woods Andy Reid frozen mustache logo?
I don't know. I mean, I've seen a lot of stuff. Tiger is not. I mean, he's like. Jordan Rogers on Instagram kind of broke it down really well.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was like, oh, you know, it's going to be the next Jordan brand. It's like, no, I mean, Tiger's not fashionable. I mean, it's kind of not a big statement or a hot take. Like he's, you know, he wears his Tiger red and his black pants, and you see him walking up to the course and he's wearing like two sizes too big gym shorts with a cargo pocket. And you're like, bro, come on, man, you're better than this. But I don't know. We'll see. I mean,
yeah.
The logo itself is like very Greg Norman-esque, like with the shark.
Ooh. Yeah.
They said, I saw Slasinger exactly a lot like that people were saying it. It was like the old Slasinger logo.
Wow. That's spot on. I don't know if there's, I wouldn't imagine that Tiger Woods couldn't figure it out, but the Frank logo is phenomenal. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like you could wear that. Like anyone could wear that and feel
it's
cool.
It's the Lacoste alligator, just Frank.
Yeah, exactly. Except it's Frank.
But I wonder,
and like, I've seen Tiger wear Nike Frank owns stuff. That. I've seen Charlie. I know that was the only. But like, I still feel like he was worth a B or more, right? Just, like he could, you know.
Hey,
can we, you're still gonna earn a pretty good yield on whatever you pay to acquire that asset, right?
Yeah.
Over time, totally.
I get it because I guess the golf market isn't a huge market and like apparently not for Nike, they're getting
it.
But
that's true.
Why did Tiger not get a lifetime contract?
Like, yeah.
LeBron's got one. Obviously Jordan has one. I mean, Tiger was like your player. Like, why did he not get a lifetime contract with Nike?
He's been
involved in some shit.
Well,
but how did they not go into the Jordan realm for Tiger, right? Like Tiger's always going to sell shit
early on,
you know, like,
and
that probably goes back to contract days and all that stuff. He was a kid, you know, 97. I mean, who knows, but I feel like Tiger could be able to finagle it in some way, somehow. I mean, they're going to make money off him. It's Tiger.
Yeah,
that's I'll send you the reel, Joe, because Jordan Rogers brought that exact topic up. Like, this is why a Tiger brand of like Air Jordan or the Jordan brand would not work. And he kind of talked about like, you know, how Tiger is very secluded. It wasn't just until recently that he started to get kind of more out into the open, not being a very fashionable person. I mean, he does a good job of saying like, this is why it wouldn't
videos
work,
are great.
Even though most people would think like it just makes sense to do it.
And really, he's not really playing anymore either. So he's not like forefront anymore either. So,
yeah, I mean, still moving the needle regardless of anything.
Yeah, totally. I mean, he moves the needle, but he doesn't move golf shoes. No one's buying the Tiger Woods Nike golf shoes.
Yeah,
nobody.
They're just not.
Nobody.
But they'll buy the Travis Scott Jordans on a heartbeat.
Oh yeah, for $1,000 in a back alley in Chinatown.
Yeah,
we're true Linksware players over here. So just go buy some True.
Links is sweet.
Yeah, True Links really is a good brand.
All right, yeah, so next thing we'll hit real quick. Nick Dunlap, the amateur, the U.S. amateur champion, goes out, gets the sponsor's exemption to the American Express, wins. Amazing performance. So if you're him in his current situation, which we don't know all the details, are you turning pro or are you going to thank you?
Yeah. Signing.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I saw the meme that was like the kid from We Are the Millers. She was like, wait, you guys are getting paid for this?
That's so good.
But yeah, you gotta take the cash.
I mean, it's a 2-year exemption, and the only thing he's not in is the Open Championship, which if he plays well, he can get in. So it's not like he can't, but he's in.
Bet on yourself. He's
right. He's in all, if he turns pro, he's in all the signature events. He has a 2-year membership on the PGA Tour at 20 years old in his prime right now. He's playing great golf. I mean, I think it's hard to say, hey, go back to school.
Yeah.
Compete, but
yeah,
Matt with the NIL money nowadays.
Matt brought it in our group chat before he even won. He's like, the only thing that would stop him is he has an invite to the Masters, but now he has an invite to the Masters.
Now he has an invite to the Masters. Yeah. I mean,
I wonder,
getting to play the Masters as an amateur, I feel is a very special event, you know, because so many amateurs that get to do it. So because clearly he's going to get to the Masters as a professional. Everybody knows. I mean, he's a wildly talented individual that is a hell of a golfer. His future is very bright. So it's not like, you know, pending something disastrous medically wise that he's not going to be able to play golf. He's going to get to Augusta. So that I could see playing there as an amateur is probably special. Playing the Open as an amateur is probably special. Defending your U.S. amateur title is probably special. But man, that's a lot of money he'd be passing up.
Yeah.
I wonder if you go back pre-NIL. Is he not even hesitating and gone? Right? Like, I know from a golf standpoint, he's probably not, you know, raking it in like Melrose or another Alabama player. But I can imagine winning a golf tournament, you know, wearing Adidas, having TaylorMade. Like, there are probably gonna be some people knocking on his door, being like, "Hey, man, you know, wear our brand, and we'll throw you some cash." And you know, at 1.2. No, you could probably make a decent coin and still live college life and enjoy that.
Yeah. One thing's for sure, he's going to be okay.
Yeah, he'll be fine. Mm-hmm.
I don't know though. I just it worries me for the next crop. I mean, the tour needs something, right? The tour
needed this really bad.
Some energy. And so for him to, it's like the Amex, everyone was talking shit on the Amex. I mean, we were talking on the side. We're like, dude, I don't know if I'm watching this because I just miss golf generally right now, or if like I actually want to be watching the Amex. And then all of a sudden he starts rising up the leaderboard and you're like, oh, wait, hold on a second. Like, this could actually be a pretty exciting event. And then he does what he did on Sunday. And it's like, wow, like the Amex, who would have thought?
Yeah. You
know, what an incredible event. And then next day it's like, nah, like not gonna join your tour. Like, I'm good.
You got an email from Greg Norman, I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And like, think about everything that the tour has been pitching, right? About legacy and stuff. It's like, dude, if he's not like, cause if I were in his shoes, I would be focused on like, dude, okay, I'm what is he, 20? 19, 20?
Yeah.
It's like, I've got a shot to set some serious records. Like, I'm chasing Tiger at this point, right? Totally. Like that's like, in my mind, that would be all you're thinking about, right? As a young, but with that much talent, and you already won. No one's done it since
first time like, in 33 years. Like, and
I'm chasing legacies. I'm chasing fucking records. And instead he's like, I don't know. I'm good. I'm going to go to fucking science class.
Yeah. He withdrew. He withdrew from the farmers.
He did withdraw from farmers. Yeah, what do you think that means?
Yeah.
I mean,
I, Honestly, he's 20 he's years old and just won a golf tournament. And
he's got homework.
He's got
it's probably a little overwhelming.
Yeah.
Chill out. Oh, yeah. Some ayahuasca he probably reached his data limits on his phone. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just it's concerning. Concerning for the next.
It's pretty awesome.
You know, craft players.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's gonna. Yeah.
I hope they have the competitive spirit to.
Yeah.
Keep things keep pro golf afloat. Yeah.
Yeah, who knows what the tour will be from a financial standpoint in 2 years or whatever with everything going on. I mean,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Just it's getting in the signature events and playing the majors that he can get in, that there's, it's hard to get in those now. You know, not everybody gets invited to them. And so you have an opportunity because that, hey, you stay an amateur and then you come back. You know, after you do your amateur run and then you turn pro next year, you don't have any status. I mean, maybe college, if he's a top college player, you get the, you know, the college thing, but he's got to do what Ludwig did and play in the false series and try and get status to where you already have it. You have it.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty cool how JT goes out and fires a 61.
That was so crazy, dude.
Also, an Alabama kid shooting a 60, and JT is like, "Yo, what? I mean, come on! Like, I thought I was hot right now, but this is
so crazy."
Yeah, it was cool.
I mean, especially for JT.
Yeah,
you know, he's like trying to get out of his funk. You know, he kind of gets this moment. You know, I feel like he's one of those dudes. He gets one win, and he's gonna be kind of like Speed, right? He'll be back at least in.
Yeah,
totally. You know, he won't maybe be winning as much as he was, but he'll be back in the fold. And instead, to your point, Bartels, this kid goes out, fires a 60, and then ends up winning.
Hey, and that was not an easy putt, man. A little 6-footer to win it.
I mean, he nailed it, dude.
Nails.
I would have been that guy in that Tiger commercial.
Yeah. Wow. I just wish so badly that instead of not playing I wish so bad he would just like come out and he's like, yeah, I'm gonna fucking play. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm coming out, I'm gonna play, and I'm gonna win. I'm like, yes. That's what
old
the tour needs.
Tiger shit.
Bring some swagger. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some American swagger. We need it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need it.
That'd have been sick.
Because Ludwig is gonna dominate.
Dude, Ludwig is nasty.
He's a
baller.
Gonna
be a problem. Yeah.
Wait, thanks so much for hopping on the show. I love it when we go an hour and a half. It's amazing. That means it was good conversation, good stuff.
It was awesome.
Getting into Joe Rogan territory.
Yeah. 2 hours to go, boys. hit up the social. What where can everybody find you on the socials?
So my personal account is @pinsandpassports, but then we're @loopgolfclub.
Is that everywhere?
Club on IG, on TikTok, and Twitter. Yep, everywhere. And YouTube.
And YouTube.
X, YouTube.
Formerly known as X. formerly known as Twitter.
And I think the one thing I want to say is I appreciate, I'm sure Thomas does too, and I probably echo for Matt, all the feedback, right? All the ideas, all that stuff. I mean, Thomas said it, and I'll reiterate it. People in the chat who are using it, who are getting signed up, who are doing it all. The more that we know what you all want, what you're all looking for, the better we can make this app, you know, exactly what we want it to be. And that's the app that every golfer uses and needs nothing else.
Yeah.
Love it.
The super
Love
app.
Love it.
Super yes. app.
Super app for golf.
It's super app. Super, golf super app. All right, guys. Again, we appreciate you coming on, and we can't wait to see where this goes. Like I said, I'm looking forward to the day when the rando comes up and says, "Are you on loop?" Because that's going to be a fun day.
Awesome. And he's going to download really it because he saw the commercial.
Yes.
Yes.
We do a commercial, Bartels, just out at Stonebreak.
There you go.
All right, Joe, do your thing and bring it home.
Yo, hey, thanks for tuning in this episode of Chasing Daylight Podcast. This was a really fun one. Make sure you go download Loop Golf, fantastic app. We use it every single time. Tell your friends, tell your family. check out Snap Hook Podcast. That's Pins and Passports, yeah. Mr. Barrels over there with Jeremy Golfball Gallery. Tune into that. That's a great episode every single week, I think. Well, it's coming back soon. Yeah, thank you, everybody. This was a fun one. I can't wait to get out there and play some loop golf with all of y'all. And make sure you tune in next week because we got more shit for you. All right. Till then. Later. Bye.